Good morning. How are you? I'm really good, thank you. No one ever asks back. Why don't we pray and then we will open our Bibles and get to work. Dear God, we come to you this morning and we thank you because you are so very good. We see your goodness in the sunshine, in the air we breathe, and the food we eat, in friends, and family, and everything you give us. And in this moment, God, we are especially reminded of your goodness because you speak to us. You speak to us in your word. So God, as I pray that as we read the words that Jesus spoke, that you will speak to our hearts today, that your spirit will soften our hearts and our minds, that we will think and feel what you would have us do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are coming to the end of a series of teachings in Matthew 7. And if you've been following along, you're probably breathing a sigh of relief and saying, good, I'm glad we're getting towards the end, because they've been very short, concise, punchy, and very strong, very kind of hard to hear, at least for me. They've been teachings that have challenged us, and this one is no different. This last one is like Jesus ends his teaching on a bang. It's another short, very easy to understand, but extremely challenging teaching. What Jesus is going to talk about, we'll talk a little bit about what we're going to read first. What Jesus is going to talk about is the fact that we tend to listen more than we obey. We tend to hear more stuff about God. We know more what God would have us do. We know more things that we should do than we actually do. We know more, we listen more, we hear more than we actually obey. And the reason is because, well, in religious circles, in church, we listen a lot. We're supposed to take in words, and there's a good reason for that. It's because we are people who are built, a faith that is built on someone who said, I am the Word of God. So it would stand to figure that we would be a people who would listen to word, that we would speak and hear the word of God. We're people who are built around, we follow a God who communicated by inspiring a book. He didn't leave a DVD, he didn't leave a screen, he left a book. So of course, we would listen to teaching, we would hear teaching, we would read the book, we would talk about the book. We should be people of this book. We put a lot of importance on teaching, and the longer that we're around religious circles or church, we tend to hear more and more teaching. We hear the sermon on Sunday, and then the sermon on Sunday night, and then there's a midweek either sermon, or else you go to a home group and someone teaches, and you hear teaching there. You turn on the Christian radio or YouTube, well, that can be dangerous sometimes, but we hear teaching, good or bad, from other sources, other people talking. We read our own Bible every day. We open it up, and we hear. Well, you know, we read, so we're not hearing all of it. You know what I'm saying. We hear teaching. We hear a lot of teaching. We intake a lot of Bible. And the longer that we are around church, the more teaching we hear and that we get and that we receive. And it's important to hear. It's important to listen. We don't come to faith without hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. We don't come to faith without hearing. There's power in the Word of God being proclaimed and being read. The Word of God is living and active. It's very important to listen. That the problem is that we listen more than we actually obey. We hear more than we do. We know more things that we're supposed to do and that God would have us do, things that we should change, than we actually go out and put into practice. How many times have you heard something and you've said, oh, that's right, I should do that. And then maybe you pull out your phone and you jot a note or, you know, pen and paper, and you're like, I got to remember that. I got to remember to do that. And then we go out and what? We forget it. And the next time that sermon comes around, you know, because sermons are kind of cyclical, you hear the same thing. It's different, but it's the same thing. You're, oh, I was supposed to do that 3 months ago, and I didn't make that change. I need to do that. We hear more than we do. What has God told you through His Word? What have you read in the Bible and that God has said, that's for you. You need to change this, and you still haven't done it. See, we could pass a microphone around, if it wasn't attached to my head. We could pass a microphone around, and everybody, we could take the rest of the time, just everybody saying, you know, I know that I should change this in my character. I'm not the right person on the inside, or this on the outside, or I need to make my decision to follow Jesus, or we could all say something, because we all know things that God would have us do that we haven't done. Why? Because we hear, we listen, we receive more teaching than we actually obey. And the reason is because it's hard to obey. It's so much easier for me to hear a message on being kind and patient and loving than it is when I'm stressed out to actually be kind and patient and loving to my children when they're making me be late. It's so much easier to hear than it is to do, to listen rather than obey. And so when we hear teaching, we tend to not obey. Why? Because we say, yes, but. We say, yes, but that. I'm not sure that applies to me. Yes, but I'm not sure that's necessary. I'm not sure I have to do that. Yes, I should do that, but it's going to be difficult to do. Yeah, I should do that, but I really don't want to. We don't say that out loud because that sounds bad, right? But we think that, we feel it, that we say, I'd rather not. And then we say, I'll do that when? I'll do it later. I'm not going to obey right now. I know I should do this. I know I should work on this area of my life. I know I should do this more. I'm going to do that. I'm going to get to that. And we put it on this like spiritual to-do list that we write a lot of stuff on, but we actually don't go back and do and work the items on the list. Sometimes we say, I'll do it later after I, and this is the magical one that just makes it all right to not obey in the moment. I'll do that after I pray about it. Well, that doesn't make it all right. If God says something clearly in His Word, He's not saying pray about it and see if that's for you. He's saying do it, but we don't many times. And that's a big, big problem. In the text we're going to read, Jesus says that when we hear and we don't do, that brings destruction into our lives. That's a serious, serious problem for us. And today in the text we're going to read, Jesus will tell us how we can avoid this destruction. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. The big idea that we're going to look at is this. What really counts is obeying Jesus, not just listening to Jesus. What counts is obeying Jesus, not just listening to Jesus. Putting in practice what we hear, not just listening to Him. Look at Matthew 7, 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. See, he gives this example, he gives us a story, and in the story, he embeds a contrast. It's this way or this way. It's one or the other. And what he's going to teach us is the importance of not just listening, but listening to him and doing what he says, listening and obeying through this example, by in this contrast. So look at the first word in that, everyone. And then he repeats it in verse 26. So 24 starts with everyone, and 26 says, and everyone. So in the contrast, he builds in a universal statement. And this is for all of us. It's if you hear me, and if you're reading this, then you're listening to Jesus. So you're part of that everyone. This is everyone. If you hear me, you will be one or the other. There's not a middle ground. There's not a, well, there's these people and these people, and then there's a third option that's not as bad, but we won't talk about that. No, it's everybody. You and I will fall on one side or the other of this. This is universal. That means that just like what we talked about last week, this applies to me, and this applies to you. This isn't something Jesus is saying to the person who didn't make it, and you're looking around saying, they really needed to hear this, and why aren't they here today? No, this is for you and me. This isn't for the person next to you. This is for you. This is everyone. There's a universal characteristic to this teaching. And Jesus is going to say, you're going to be one or the other. You can be one or the other. And you're going to get to decide which of the two you will be. And what he's saying, so read a little bit farther. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And then 26, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So what's the person doing in both sides of the contrast in this example? He's building his house. What is Jesus talking about when he says you're building his house? I'm not a construction type of person, so maybe this doesn't apply to me. No, he's talking about who we are. We're building who we are as people, what our character is, what kind of person you are, what you are like on the inside and what you are on the outside. He's talking about, when he says house, it's who you are, it's your relationship with God. D- Do you know God, like we talked about last week? Do you know God, or will we arrive to heaven and meet him for the first time? And he'll say, I didn't know you. Do you have a deep relationship with God? That's who you are. Do you have an impact on other people as you live through life? Do I have an impact on other people? Do we help other people get closer to God? Will our life be marked by us helping other people know Jesus? What is our life like? Who are we? And what he's saying is that these people are building. We're building our lives. We're building who we are. We're building our relationship with God. We're building what we're leaving behind. We're building our legacy. We're building who we are. And just like a house, we're building it little by little. And at the end of that, it will be obvious who we are, if we know God or if we don't know God. What we've built will be obvious. Who we are as people will be plain. If we're like Jesus in our character because we've become more and more like him in the way that we live and the way we think and the way we feel and the way we react, or if we're less and less like Jesus, we are becoming something. If you've helped other people get into a relationship with God and know God, and you've guided people along that path or not, that will be clear someday, because we're going to build something, and then that is what we will have, because that is what we will be. It's who we are. And Jesus is going to say that what you're building, who you are, will be determined, is determined by how much you listen and obey. By how much you listen and obey me. Not me, Jesus. Go back to the beginning now. Everyone who hears these words of mine, and then verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine, this is the same in both sides of the contrast in this example. Both sides hear Jesus. See, everyone hears Jesus, and if you say, no, actually, I don't. I've never read the Bible. This is my first sermon. I don't. You can look around outside, and you've lived and breathed there, and you've seen evidence of the Creator. You've seen who God is through what he has done. You've seen his power, but I don't think that's the case for most of us here, where the only thing that we have to go on for saying, I've heard, I know what God is like, is only by his creation. No, most of us are people who hear teaching from other people, and we're people who read this, and we hear teaching directly from Jesus, and so we hear his words, and the reason I think Jesus says it this way is because he's not minimizing teaching. This isn't a do stuff, teaching isn't important, reading the Bible isn't important. No, that's where it starts. That's extremely important. It's extremely important to hear his words, to read the Bible, to listen to him. So what are some of the teachings that we hear from Jesus when we read the Bible, when we listen to him? Some of the ones that I emphasize, and maybe for you as you read the Bible, there's other teachings that you think of, but some of the big ones that I emphasize is there's a continual call when we read the Bible to make a decision, especially the New Testament, to make a decision to follow Jesus, to accept him as Savior and Lord, to repent and be baptized, to give yourself to him. There's a continual emphasis on that. That's one of his teachings. There's another teaching that just flows through the entire Bible, which is dedicating yourself to knowing God, not just entering into a relationship with God, but living in that relationship with God, reading your Bible and praying and fasting and be living close to God. As part of that, we're supposed to guide other people in knowing God. So we're supposed to guide our family. We're supposed to read the Bible with our family and pray with them. We're supposed to help other people. We're supposed to guide other people. We're supposed to be disciples who make disciples, followers who make other followers. That thread is woven through the New Testament. Jesus' followers are supposed to follow him, and they're supposed to help other people follow him. That's one of his teachings. Another is that we're supposed to constantly, after we come into a relationship with God, we're supposed to constantly be changing and becoming more like Jesus and putting to death the old person and leaving behind the things we do that are rebellion against God. That's one of the overriding teachings of the New Testament. We're supposed to be part of a community of believers. We're supposed to be an active part of Jesus' body. We're supposed to have meetings and come together and congregate and serve and confess to each other, and we're supposed to be active parts of the body. Those are all teachings, and I've run over some of the ones that to me just jump out, but you've read the Bible. There's other things you're like, oh, and I'm supposed to do this, and I'm supposed to do this. Those are big teachings. And then Jesus continues, so we hear his words, we see his teachings, And then he's going to say, now this is where the difference comes in between the two sides of this contrast. They either do them or they don't. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, or verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them. That's the difference. That's the big difference. That's what this whole thing hinges on. It's not listening or not. It's not knowing about God or knowing where you can find out about God. It's not that. It's doing what God says or not. It's listening and obeying or not. See, the first one is when we listen. In verse 24, it's when we listen and obey. It's not just saying, yes, that's right, amen, preach it. I'm going to write that down. I'm going to take notes. It's when we listen and we read the Bible and we hear Jesus, and then we make decisions and we make changes and we do things, and our lives are markedly different the more that we are around God, the more that we hear teaching, and the more that we read the Bible. Our lives are continually changing. It's not a slight gradual change. No, we change dramatically as we obey Jesus. It's when we read the Bible and every new thing that we see, we say, okay, I should do that. And then we try to become that person that we see. We listen and obey. And the second example, in 26, who hears these words of mine and does not do them, that's someone who listens and doesn't obey. It is the person who leaves and says, I'm going to get to that. I'm going to do that later. I am going to do that. I am going to become that person, but that's not what I'm going to do right now. It's the person who doesn't obey. And just a side note, obeying later is not obeying. Delayed obedience is disobedience. When I say I am going to do that, well, now? Well, no, that is something I'm going to do. No, that's not obeying. If we don't obey in the moment, we're disobeying. And so one person hears Jesus' words and does them, puts them in practice, and the other one listens and doesn't change and doesn't do what Jesus says. And if you've been around this for very long, you know that sometimes you're on one side and sometimes you're on the other side of that. And this is a challenge for us to be people who listen and obey. Okay, so he says, though the person who listens and obeys will be like a wise man who built his house. So he's building who he is. He's building his relationship with God and who he is as a person, his impact on other people, on a rock. And the other person builds who he is on the sand. So Jesus is saying, you're going to build on a foundation. Well, obviously, I don't know much about building, but I know you're going to build on a foundation. If you build, it's either going to be a good one or a bad one. That's what Jesus is saying. It's very obvious. It's a very easy, straightforward thing. So we're going to build on a foundation, and it's either going to be one that will hold up what you're building or one that won't. And in this teaching, in the context, the solid foundation is what? It's obeying what he says. That's what the foundation is. That's what the rock is. It's you're building on the rock. The rock is what? It's. I know there's other parts of the Bible where Jesus is the rock, but in this particular example, he's not saying, I'm the rock. He's saying, obeying my words. That is a solid foundation. That is the solid foundation. If you build your life and who you are on obedience to me, on listening and obeying, that's a solid foundation. If you build on sand, what would be the opposite of listening and obeying? It would be hearing and then doing whatever I want. It would be basing my decisions on my whims and my desires and me being the boss of my life, which is the opposite of being someone who says Jesus is Lord and he's the boss of me, right? So it's either what I want or what Jesus wants. One way or the other, we're going to build our life either on our own decisions, on our own desires, what we want in the moment, or we're going to build who we are on listening and obeying our Creator, one way or the other. And then the drama comes in. So then, verse 25, the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. And so Jesus is talking about, I think there's two kinds of storms that come against our lives. One is just life. And this is the one that is, to me, is the most obvious. It's like, well, of course, that's life is just, it's easily compared to a storm. It comes and it beats on who I am as a person. Things happen to me. There's economic difficulties. I lose my job. I can't pay the bills. I have taxes. I have all this, and then I have problems in my family and problems in my marriage and my kids. And then I get sick, and then I'm close to dying, or someone close to me is close to dying. those are storms. Those are problems. And they beat against and they test who we are. They test what we are building as ourselves. Who you are as a person is tested when those problems come and they hit against you. They test our relationship with God. Do I really believe that God has filled me with His Spirit and I have a connection with Him? Or am I floundering out by myself? It'll be seen what I really believe, who I really am, my relationship with God. Do I really believe what I profess to believe, that God is my Father and He loves me and He satisfies me and He takes care of me and I'm secure and content in Christ? Do I believe that or do I not? See, that's tested when the storms of life come against us. My character is tested. How do I react when there's problems? Am I a great, wonderful Christian, but then a problem comes and I just lose it? See, who I am is being tested by the storms of life. And what comes out of that shows who I really am on the inside. How do I act when I'm stressed? How do I act when I'm tempted? How do I act when I'm alone? Who am I really? What is my relationship with God really like? That's tested when life comes against me. But there's another kind of storm that will beat against who I am and test who I am. And that's the eternal judgment. That's someday when God, I stand before God, and I have to give account for every action and every word. When Jesus divides people between the sheep and the goats, you go this way, you go that way. Some will go to eternal life and some will go to eternal death. And that will test who I am. More than even the test of life, the difficulties of life. When I'm before God, that will be the ultimate test. That will fall on me like a storm. And that will test who I truly am. If I really am God's son, what I've built in my life, who I am, that'll be tested. Am I God's child? Or will He say, I never knew you? Will He say, well done, good and faithful servant? Or will He say, you've wasted your life on frivolous things? Will I have eternal security in that moment? Will I be covered by Jesus's blood? Or will I be outside of Jesus? And will I be responsible for everything that I've done and said and thought? That'll be tested in that moment. That will be tested. Storms will come in this life and in the next. And then look at how it ends. Beat on that house, verse 25. The storms come, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Then the next one, verse 27. The winds blew, beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. He's saying that you'll either survive, who you are will be solid and remain when storms come, or there will be destruction. At the end, everybody, and see, this is where the universalism of the teaching falls on all of us. It's not like, well, maybe you'll have some damage, but no, it's either you'll stand or you'll fall. We will all be there. We will all stand or fall when the storms of life and when the eternal judgment comes upon us, we will all stand or fall. We're going to be one or the other. Either I'm going to fall and I'm going to lose my testimony. I'm going to lose who I am because I'm going to do things and say things and be things I shouldn't when bad things happen to me. I'm going to hear Jesus say, apart from me, I never knew you. Or I'm going to stand because I'm in His kingdom. And even in this life, I'm covered by Him. And even in the most difficult times, His Spirit will give me strength and pull me through. And my relationship with God will be stronger than anything that can come against me in this life, and someday I'll stand before Him and He will say, well done, good and faithful servant. It'll be one or the other, and there's an inevitability to this. See, hear this. There's an inevitability to what Jesus is saying in this teaching. It's either going to fall or it's going to stand. It's going to be one or the other. You and I will all enter into eternal life as God's children, or we'll enter into eternal death as people who receive God's wrath. And what makes the difference is what we've built our life on. Have we built it on listening and obeying, or have we built it on listening and then doing what we want to do? And then Jesus uses a strong pair of words. Look at verse 24. And I think now that we've seen what He said, I think the strong word makes sense. A wise man. And then in verse 26, a foolish man. Though those are strong words. Not so much if I call you a wise man, you'll say, oh, thank you. Unless you're a woman, a wise woman, then you would say thank you then, right? If I call you a foolish person, or even worse, a fool, you would hear how strong that is. You'd say, oh, I'm not sure I'm going to go back and have you preach at me again. You can't call me a fool. That's a strong word. If my boys call each other fools, that would be a problem. We would have a discussion. Those are strong words. And Jesus is saying everyone will fall into one of those two categories. We'll either be wise people or we'll be foolish. One or the other. And why does he use that? I was thinking about that this week. Why does he say that? I think the reason is because, see, we know when we hear the words of God, and the more that we hear, the more Sundays we spend here listening, the more days that we open up our Bibles and listen, the more that we know what the reality of God is, who God is, and who we are. We know what God expects from us. We know what's going to happen in eternity. We know that we will be with the Father in the new creation, or we will have his judgment rain down upon us for eternity. We know that that will happen. We know that we have to make a decision to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. We have to repent and be baptized. There's that moment in time when we give ourselves to him. We know that we have to be more and more like Jesus. We know we have to love our brother. We know these things. The more we know about the reality of God, we know that this isn't a game. We know that. The more we hear, the more we know. And being wise, listen, is living in the light of what you know to be true. And being foolish is ignoring everything that you know to be true. And that's a Donald Trump thing, isn't it? I'm sorry. I will not do that again. That was a bad hand with. Is ignoring what you know to be true. Now I'm self-conscious. Being foolish is ignoring what you know to be true and doing what you want to do in spite of it and in spite of the consequences. So it's like if this building was on fire, instead of a sermon, you know, it'd be easy to run out in a sermon. It's like, I'm not going to miss much. But say we were watching a really good movie. The screen was down, we were watching a really good movie. The building's on fire. See, what would wise be? It's like, I know what's happening. There's fire. I have to leave. Being foolish would say, I'm going to ignore what I know to be true, and I'm going to do what I want to do in spite of everything that I know to be true. That's very, very foolish, in spite of what the consequences will be. That is just idiotically foolish. There aren't words strong enough to describe how foolish that is. That's what Jesus is saying. You hear my words, you know the result eternally for either becoming a Christian or not, for living as my follower or not, for giving your life to frivolous things in this life, or to giving your life to helping other people know Jesus. You know the end results of that. Be a wise person and live like someone who understands what you know. And live in accordance with what I've said. Obey me. Don't be a foolish person and do what you want to do in the moment in spite of what you know to be true. And then look at how he ends the good side of the comparison. He doesn't do this on the bad side. He does it on the good side. Verse 25, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. So he's saying you built on this solid base. You're a person who heard my words and did them. You obeyed me. That's the difference. That's the difference. That's what makes all the difference in our life. It's hearing and obeying. We live the way that our Creator wants us to live, the way He says it is best. When we hear and obey, we have peace with God. We enter into that relationship. We don't leave Him. We strive to be more and more like Jesus. We help other people know Him. And then we build our house, we build who we are on that obedience when we listen and we obey. So, what should we do? Again, this is one of those teachings where the application is just like written into it. It's all application. We should listen and obey. We should listen and obey. We should build our house on this solid foundation of listening and obeying Jesus. And for all of us, it looks exactly the same. And for all of us, it's a little bit different. Let me explain. For all of us, we have to listen. We have to listen. How do we listen? We all listen the same way. We hear teaching. This is good. The fact that you're here listening, that's good. Then it's even better is if you take this, not mine, yours, home with you, and then you open it this afternoon and you read it. And then tomorrow you read it, and the next day you read it. We have to listen. That's how we become wise people who have our lives, who we are built on a solid foundation. We read the Bible, and we listen to good Bible teaching, and we listen to it, and then we obey what Jesus says. We obey what he says. We do what he tells us to do. The Word of God is living and active, so every time you read it, it's like there's a different application. That's because the Holy Spirit is saying, this is how this applies to you. You need to do this. You need to do what it says. So that's why as we read, we should always ask ourselves, okay, what should I do? I know what I read. What should I do? What should I do? What's my next step? It's really easy for me to come up with next steps for other people. And the better I know the other people, the easier it is. But for me, that's where I need the Holy Spirit to help me see what I need to do. So we ask ourselves, what should I do? And then, easiest application of the month, we do it. Whatever God tells us to do, we say, okay, I'm going to work at it until I've done that. I'm going to do that. I'm not going to say yes, but, and I'm not going to say later. I'm going to do it. So let me ask you a question before we pray and sing together. What's your next step? What have you heard and not done? What have you heard and not done? And you know, and every time that teaching rolls around, you're like, oh, I should do that. And what have you heard from Jesus and not done? Maybe for you, it's the initial decision. It's making a decision to follow Jesus, to repent and be baptized. In this community, I don't like to let a Sunday go by without saying, in this community, when you're ready to make that decision, tell someone. Water is kept ready. You can make that decision. Maybe for you, it's something completely different. I'm not even going to make a list and run down everything. The Spirit will guide you into that, into all obedience, into all truth. But whatever it is, do it. Do what God has asked you to do. So we be people who listen and obey. Why don't you stand? We'll pray together, and then we'll sing. God, we thank you. You can make us guess what you want us to do, but you don't. You very, very clearly tell us. Thank you for reminding us this morning, God, and we confess our disobedience is never because we don't know enough. It's never because we don't know what we should do. It's always because we want to be our own boss. We want to make our own decisions. It's really hard for us to listen to what you say and do it. So God, we plead with you and beg you that you would help us become people who would more and more listen to you and then do exactly what you say. Thank you for Jesus. It's because of him we can even approach you and talk to you. In his name we pray. Amen.